Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this seventh Sunday after Pentecost. I'm happy to see all of you here today. Our music is going to be accompanying Kimberly Norris is going to be accompanying Mickey on with the music this morning, and then next week she will be leading the music, as both myself and Mickey will be out next week. So a well-deserved rest for both of us. A couple of other announcements. I did send out an email earlier this week about the school supply drive that the deacons are doing. There's a whole list of things that you can bring, and you can place those items in the bins by the entrance out there through August 6th. And then on July 28th, after worship, the deacons are also going to be hosting a Sunday. That's S-U-N-D-A-E Sunday. Following worship, we're going to have ice cream sundaes with all of the fix-ins, and just enjoy some time of fellowship together. So put that on your calendar. And then don't forget about BJ's 80th birthday party on August 3rd. There is a sign up in the back, and if you're going to be in attendance, please make sure that you sign up so that they can be sure to have all of the things that they need, all of the food and the good stuff. So make sure that you do that. And like I said, next week I'll be on vacation. I'm going to be puttering around the woods for a while, and will likely be out of cell range. So it's sort of off and on. So if you have any pastoral emergencies or anything, get in touch with your deacons. And that's all I can think of for right now. Anyone else have any other? Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. Divvying up the grounds, there's a sign-up sheet with a map back there. So if you want to get your hands dirty and make the church look brighter and more inviting, by all means, sign up for that. And with that, we'll gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship with our call to worship. Because peace is making a road for our steps, we come to listen to what our God is saying. Because truth is springing up from the ground, we come to listen to what our God is saying. Because God's salvation is very near, we come to listen to what our God is saying. Let us rejoice, for faithful love and trust have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed. God is in our midst. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Be Thou My Vision, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
This is the day of our salvation, and now is the time for our deliverance. The grace of God has not come in vain. Let us confess our sins. Holy God, you call us to be your beloved children and to care for one another. Yet we fail to love others and ourselves. Helpless and ashamed, we turn our hearts to you. Forgive us, and then tenderly teach us to stand strong and courageous in the fullness of your love. By the grace and mercy of Christ. Amen. The Lord reaches out with compassion. Our guilt has departed and our sin is blotted out. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And please be seated for our congregation's anthem. Sing along, if you'd like, with Canticle of the Terne. Amen. I didn't realize that the elder Norrises were also going to be joining us. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. Almighty God, you have set a plumb line from the foundation of the world to lead us into truth. Receive our prayers of hope and healing on behalf of the church and the world. In these days of scorching summer sun and cool evening breeze, of terrorizing wars and vacations at the beach, of discouraging national news and nourishing church potlucks, we live a life of contradictions, and we notice the disparities. We feel you tugging at our hearts to heed Christ's call of discipleship, care, service, and of delighting in the blessings that are bestowed. Give wisdom to all leaders and people to resist the earthly powers of fear and violence that destroy our common life. In the face of injustice, oppression, and brutal power, strengthen our wavering wills to stand in the power of Christ. Stir up in us the power to care for your creation, not as resources to be exploited, but as a precious gift to be held in trust as a revelation of your faithfulness. Inspire your church to share Christ's love beyond the safety of its walls, and fill us with an infection of joy, an infectious joy, for sharing your gospel as we welcome your coming reign. Bring healing and wholeness to all who are haunted by broken relationships, abuse, illness, or terror, and restore us in your peace. We especially pray for Mark Weckerly, Roy's son, who was in a head-on collision and fractured his femur and ankles, and is going to be in rehab for about 6 to 8 weeks. Eternal God, in Christ, you gather all things up in heaven and on earth, enfold all who will be born this day, and all who will die into the joy of your never-ending realm of peace. For our hope is set on Christ as we live to praise his glory. With these and all things and more, we pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, The Summons.
Will you go with
Please be seated. In joyful gratitude to God for all of our blessings, let us bless others with a portion of what we have been given. Let us present our offerings to God. Awesome God, thank you for filling us with every spiritual grace that we might be a blessing for others. Consecrate the gifts we offer for the increase of your love. May they bring blessing to others and praise to your glorious name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture this morning is taken from the book of Amos, chapter 7, verses 7 through 15, from the New
International version.
International, thank you. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined with my sword. I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in every heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying: Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy any more at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Holy God, your wisdom cries out in the street, calling us to seek your will. Teach us by your Spirit to be doers of your word and not merely hearers, that our faith may bear good fruit in works of service and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we're continuing to talk about the prophets in the Old Testament. And last week I talked about Ezekiel, and I feel comfortable saying that most of you were probably at least somewhat familiar with Ezekiel, like you'd probably at least heard the name. But today we're talking about Amos. And Amos is a little lesser known to most people. So for a little context, Amos lived around 760 BC. This is about 200 years prior to Ezekiel. So this was before the Babylonian exile. But it was still during the time of the split between the northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel. So Amos lived in the southern kingdom. They called that Judah. And that's where King Uzziah reigned. And then in northern Israel, King Jeroboam II rules. King Jeroboam is historically known for really aggressive militarism. And that militarism really expanded the territory. And he was pretty ruthless about it. And so Jeroboam is credited with an economic prosperity the likes of which had never been seen before in Israel. But this economic prosperity, it's kind of lopsided. Not everyone benefits from it. The wealth is concentrated amongst a very small group of people. I know this is hard for any of us to imagine here today. But there were people that had multiple vacation homes and toilets that were made out of gold and a variety of yachts and rocket ships that could take them to go to outer space. And to make it even less difficult, less easy for us to understand and relate to, the whole legal system was also corrupt. And justice was sold to the ones who promised the highest tips to the judges who ruled in their favor. Basically, the wealthy had no moral qualms about crushing the poor, neglecting widows, manipulating immigrants, abandoning orphans. As long as it kept a few extra coins in their pockets, they were fine with all of that. And all of those things are frustrating enough. But in my mind, the worst part of this, the thing that makes me absolutely furious, was the way that the religious leaders not only didn't do or say anything against this, but the ways in which they actively engaged in manipulating God's people, feathering their own nests, presiding over and even encouraging the worship of idols. They helped the wealthy justify their behavior, and they blamed the needy for their station in life. And as I read through the book of Amos, particularly in the last couple of weeks, I can't help but to see some of the similarities in the world today. Especially in our very own Christian country, where authentic faith is reduced to a once-a-week cultural ritual, where love is replaced with poorly interpreted biblical law, where religious leaders defend, legitimize, and encourage bowing to a corrupt empire, where religious zealots advocate for replacing free school lunches with Bibles and posters of the Ten Commandments. This is the world in which Amos, our prophet, finds himself. Amos has a couple of really scary visions about God's judgment, about pleading with God to save the people. Those are a couple of visions that happen before we meet with him today. And our passage today begins with Amos's third vision. And it is a doozy. God shows Amos this object that doesn't really mean anything in itself, so you know, Amos doesn't really react. He's just And then when God asks Amos, "What do you see?" Amos replies, "A plumb line." I tried to find a version, like a translation that didn't use the word plumb line here. And I'm not really sure how it got translated this way. I guess I could try to figure out, like, it's probably because it's another way, it's a way that we can read this as another sort of judgment from God. Like, the plumb line is kind of like the level, it keeps edges straight. I figured you knew that, but I don't know. The meaning of the Hebrew word that's there, the word is anak. And the meaning of that word isn't really clear. It's one of those words that you can't really translate into English very well. It's more likely that this is actually like a play on words. Hebrew, oh man, this is one of the reasons I love Hebrew, is just the puns that they, on point. So I think that this is like a play on words. And so the sound of the word anak is similar to two other root words, the ana and anak. I know it's spelled differently, so ana and anag. And both of those root words mean sigh. So an analogy to this phrase, to what God says to him, would be something like, in a vision, a wall of silver is seen, and God is standing with silver in hand, and God says, "I am putting shivering in the midst of my people." So they're like kind of close in words. Regardless, the vision concludes with a prediction that Jeroboam's dynasty will end, and it will end violently. All of Israel will be exiled. And the priest of Bethel, Amaziah, he hears this. He hears what Amos is saying. He thinks it's pretty wacky. And he tries to ban Amos from preaching. These things that Amos is saying, they're conspiratorial. He's plotting to kill Jeroboam. Amaziah says to Amos, get out of here with this stuff. Go back to Judah. Go prophesy there. You're saying really unpatriotic things right now. Things here in King Jeroboam's sanctuary. Did you hear that? King Jeroboam's sanctuary? Amaziah, a priest, has conflated religious faith with political empire and the establishment of power. The worship that Amaziah is overseeing is reduced to patriotic cheering. Amos responds, "Hey, I'm not a professional prophet. My family business is farming. But God calls people from all walks of life and empowers all people to speak the truth." And we often tend to think of of prophets as like fortune tellers, like people who can predict the future. And that happens on occasion, but biblically, that's not really what a prophet does. Honestly, Amos's vision, Amos's prophecy, doesn't actually fully come true. Jeroboam dies a natural death. Yes, the people are exiled like 200 years later, but what prophets really do is tell the truth about what's happening today, what's happening here and now, with the hope that by telling the truth, by letting everyone else see, they'll be impacting both the present and the future. Amos is trying to shed light on what's happening and warn them, hey, you can't keep up, you can't do this anymore. It's really easy to feel powerless in this world today. There are really complicated problems that are happening. They're overwhelming. I don't even know what can any one of us do about climate change. I don't know how to stop wars or genocide. Anyone here have any education on how to address systemic poverty? How about global hunger and disease? As far as I know, none of us here has trained to right any of these wrongs. And you know what? Neither was Amos. Before Amos was called by God, he spent his days with cattle, poking holes in fig husks to help them ripen. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't have a law degree. No one in his family taught him about prophecy. And yet, God still called him. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, God doesn't call the equipped, God equips the called. God says to Amos, hey, I have some stuff that I need to tell the Northern Kingdom. We have some stuff to talk about, me and King Jeroboam. I know you're a farmer. You haven't been trained in this. This prophecy stuff, I get it. But this is really urgent, and you're the one that I need. We don't have time to waste, so you'll be learning on the job. I'll train you on the job. Don't worry. I'll be with you. I'll guide you. Just listen. Come to me. You won't be doing it by yourself. God has called a whole bunch of different people to do the same sorts of things, and all of us are just learning on the job. So Amos may not have had the credentials before being called to be a prophet, but he did have integrity, faith, courage, above all, a willingness to bear testimony. Amos was open to God's call. So may we all be like Amos, willing to do some on-the-job training as we speak God's truth. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, Feed Us, Lord. Be seated. Friends, this is not my table. This is not Glenshaw Valley's table. This is not a Presbyterian table or an American table or a table reserved for wealthy or well-connected. This table is reserved for sinners, for the poor, for those who are cast out, for those who hunger and thirst. This table belongs to Jesus Christ, who invites all those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. Come. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with the prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all of the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this juice, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be living and holy sacrifices dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after praying and giving thanks to the Lord, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time that you eat this bread or drink from this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord God until he comes again. The gifts of God for the people of God. Christ Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, you have come to this house to eat and drink with us. You have fed us and filled us with the grain of the field and the fruit of the vine, with the strength of your word and the life of your spirit. Now send us forth in service to share your gifts with others. Let us scatter the seed of justice and harvest the fruit of peace, all for the sake of your eternal realm and the glory of your holy name. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. Before we head back out into the world, let me offer a charge and a blessing. God calls, Christ loves, the Spirit guides. Just as God gathered us for worship, God sends us out, redeemed, renewed, ready to live and to love faithfully. So may the grace, hope, peace, and love of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with us now and always. Amen.